A desk full of notes downstairs. You know, taking notes is good too. It should reinforce what you hear from the man of God as he preaches from the Word of God. But do you ever review those notes? Do you ever go home and say, you know what? He's absolutely right. A spiritual reawakening. That's what we need in our country. And I remember him, the preacher, talking about David writing in the 11th Psalm and the background, the backstory that over in 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul was doing everything that he could do to kill David. And David must have thought, Lord, I thought I was going to be king. There were several opportunities that David had to take Saul out. Did David take Saul out? No, because he trusted God to do the right thing. And that's what we have to do. We have to trust God to do the right thing. Does the Word of God, does it have any impact at all on your thinking, on your attitude, and on your practices? The second kind of listener is one who is distracted. The Bible says, For if anyone is a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, he immediately has forgotten what kind of person he was. Now I'm reading from verses 23 and verse 24. We're still in James. This is the person who reads a passage of Scripture, hears a sermon, may even feel encouraged at the moment, but quickly forgets about what it was. When the temporal cares of this world distract us from that which is of eternal value, you remember the parable that Jesus, the parable about the various responses to hearing God's word. These are the ones who heard. They go on their way. They're choked with worries, riches, the pleasures of this life. They bring absolutely no maturity. Write down as a parallel verse to what I'm preaching from. Write down the Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 14. And the seed in that parable is what? It's the word of God. So when you look at verses 23 through 24, those are interesting verses that remind us of how important it is to not just be a hearer of the word, but also to be what?
A doer
as well. Go back to chapter 1. Well, we are in chapter 1. Go back to verse 25. Let's see if you can figure out what kind of listener this person is in James 1, verse 25. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, I'm in the old King James, the perfect law of liberty, that would be the Bible. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but what? But a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in what? So what kind of listener would this man be, or woman? How about attentive? Is that a good word? Yeah. The one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and does what? Abides by it. That's not just a casual look. Have you ever just taken a casual look at the Bible before you go to bed at night? Have you ever heard the pastor say, "You ought to read a psalm or a proverb"? And you're tired and you're wore out. It's kind of like when you go to bed at night and you know that you need to talk with God, but you're so tired, you want to say a prayer, but you do it. It's almost an exercise in futility, isn't it? Why? You're in a hurry. Your heart is not really. You take a casual a look, but in this passage of Scripture, James is saying this person is an attentive listener. He's not. This is not a casual look when he picks up the Bible to read it. It's a thought-out, concentrated examination and consideration of what he or she is reading or hearing in God's Word. And then when we apply those truths to our lives, then we allow ourselves to be guided by the Holy Spirit. Remember, there's always a battle, isn't there? Every day when you get up, until the time that you go to bed, there's a battle going on within. Am I right or am I wrong? What is that battle? The battle to please the flesh or a battle to please who? To please God. And Walter, and when I was talking with Brother Walter just a little while ago, I shared with him that I was in Habakkuk. And if you remember, there are how many chapters? I'm going to help you out. How many chapters are there in Habakkuk? In the very first two chapters, Habakkuk is interceding for Judah, interceding for the nation. God is going to take them into captivity, and he's doing it for a reason. And you remember what the reason was? Sin. and to get their attention. And then finally, Habakkuk just simply had to give in. He had to understand that God had a greater reason and a greater purpose. And even though Habakkuk was praying for mercy, God gave them judgment. And there's a word there that we don't particularly like, and that word is judgment. Consequences, if you will, for our disobedience. All of you, I suppose, have been coming here for a long time. Before sin kills you, what does it do to you? It makes you sick. It makes you absolutely sick. But it does more than that. It drives a wedge into your relationship with God, robs you of your joy, robs you of your peace. Then why in the world do we do it? Why does the Bible say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and then do what? Why aren't we following after God with our whole heart in the first place? Because we've not received I'll answer my own question, because we've not received our glorified body yet, have we? This third example in James is the one who looks intently at the perfect law, the Bible, the law of liberty, and he abides by it. Doesn't take a casual look, but he examines, considers what he reads, considers what he hears in God's Word. Then he applies that truth to his life and then allows himself to be guided. Remember, it's one thing to hear the Word, but it's another thing to not just hear the Word, but to do what? To do it, to apply it. So we need to understand how important it is to not allow ourselves to be like the second kind of listener who is sadly distracted in verses 23 and verse 24. Verse 23 says, "For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, and then he beholds himself, goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." Those are interesting verses of Scripture that remind us that we're sinners saved by God. We were a sinner when we walked into this church. We're a sinner when we walk out of this church. But the earnest man looks into the Word of God, acts upon what he sees, and doesn't forget what he sees, but acts upon it. By the way, that the word for man is male, just as a sidebar, just as a note. And it indicates that men, in contrast to women, are more sensitive. Did you know this? Are more sensitive by nature, according to my commentary, and they need this exhortation to careful observance of what they see in the Word. Usually, I think it's a woman who looks in the mirror. Now, don't get mad at me. Don't throw rocks at me. You know, a woman will look in the mirror and go back and look in the mirror again, like something is. But no, according to this, men, how? You're not going to be honest with me. We're in church. But how much time do you spend looking in the mirror and then forget what you see and go right back? The bottom line is, when you look in the mirror, you see the very same thing that I see when I look in the mirror, and that is a man who's been saved by God's mercy and grace. Can I get an amen? All right, there's a fourth kind of listener. Go back to verse 25. We said this was an attentive listener, but he's not just an attentive. All of you look very attentive to me. But not only should you be attentive, but you should be obedient. Watch this. "But whoso looketh unto the perfect law of liberty," that would be that phraseology refers to what book? The Bible itself. If you didn't know that, you know it now. "And continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer." Have you ever been a forgetful hearer? We all have. "But a doer of the work, this man shall be what? Blessed in his deed." So the fourth listener is characterized as obedient. He's not just an active, attentive listener, but obedient. So rather than becoming a forgetful hearer, this person is an effectual doer. One who will be, the Bible says in that verse, shall be blessed. What is the word blessed in the Hebrew? What does it mean? To impart supernatural favor upon. He takes seriously our Lord's commands to love God and others, in serving one another, in making disciples. There are two words in the New Testament, I suppose in the Old Testament as well, but there are two words that are extremely important if we're going to please God. You ready to write? Do you want to know what they are? One is faith, and the other is love. You can't learn, and you can't grow, and you can't please God without what? Love. Faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says without it, you can't please God. The Bible says that faith cometh by... Well, how do we get faith? I'm glad you asked. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it does matter how much time that you spend in the Word of God. And if there's one area in my life where there is a constant battle, it's how much time am I going to give God? How much time am I going to spend in the Word? And even if you're driving to work... Listen, I love Joel Osteen. I listen to Joel... I listen to him for 2 or 3 hours every morning, and then I listen to him again for an hour or so in the evening. I try to listen to Chuck Swindoll. Many of you know I love the preaching of Charles Stanley. I love Billy Graham. So if I'm not in the Word, I'm absorbing, I'm saturating the Word from the man of God as he preaches, and I'm not able to get to a Bible. But spiritual growth isn't measured merely by just how much we know about the Bible, but how obedient we are to what we've learned. Am I making any sense up here at all? You all have, I've impacted you tonight with a lot of things to think about. If the instruction we receive is not accompanied by our desire to be like Christ, is not accompanied by a desire for our faith to grow and our love to deepen, then you've basically wasted your time by coming to church. It's kind of sort of like going to the gym. Every time I go to the gym, well, the last time I tried going to the gym, I can hear, and I was working out at home. I didn't even leave to go to the gym. I was working out at home. I said, "Trish, oh. She said, "What is wrong?" I said, "Oh." She said, "Oh, you forgot to stretch, didn't you?" When I do go to the gym, listen to what she'll... Hal, here's what she'll say. "Did you go to the gym?" "Yeah, honey, I went to the gym." "Would you get a good workout?" Well, that depends. It depends on who I'm talking with. You know, because the pastor can spend 20 or 25 minutes talking to somebody, and I am at the gym. Can I get an amen from somebody? But what exercise was I... And we're kind of sort of like in the gym right now. Some of us have taken notes. Some of us, we've said, "Well, I've heard all this before." I may not have known that love and faith were two of the most important words found in the Bible, but I'm going to share with you something that you should already know, and then I'm going to bundle this and close it for you. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, and are you? Are you a follower of Jesus Christ? Then as fellow believers, listen to this, we ought to motivate each other to do God's Word. The author of the book of Hebrews, let me close with Hebrews 10, verse 24. Let me read this to you. And many theologians believe Paul is the author of Hebrews. The author of the book of Hebrews said, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds." Now, a moment ago, I reminded you the spirit is willing, but the flesh is what? Weak. So when the church doors are open, I know I need to be here. I missed Brian this morning because iron sharpens iron. I had to depend on Randy to help get me up. I didn't feel good this morning. And somebody said, "How you feeling?" I came up them steps, took my little Flomax pill a little while ago. Should have taken it early this morning, but I was afraid to because I had an empty stomach. And you know what happens when you have an empty stomach and you take medicine? It's not good. Brother Don Newlove will tell you, "No, Pastor, did you eat anything before you took that medicine?" No. It's not good. Jesus gave his disciples the following warning and promise. "So take care how you listen. For whoever has, to him more shall be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him." Luke 8:18. So let's ask the Lord tonight to make us careful listeners. And you've been very attentive, and I believe that with all of my heart. But not only should we be careful in the way that we hear, but we should be faithful and become not just hearers of the Word, but what? Doers of the Word. So that we can grow in grace and maturity. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Well, how we listen to God's Word is of utmost importance. First, there's the deluded listener. I read that to you in James 1, verse 22. James admonishes believers, "Prove yourselves doers of the Word and not merely hearers only," deluding yourself over in verse 22. 22. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. The word delude also means deceiving yourselves. You need to do more than just listen. The second kind of listener is the one who is distracted. For if any man is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. For once he has looked at himself and gone away, then he immediately forgets what kind of person he was. That was in verses 23 and 24. This is the person who reads a passage of Scripture, and I've been there, so have you. You read it, or you hear a sermon, you may even feel encouraged at the moment, and then you quickly forget what it was all about. And a lot of times that's because of worry and fear, and sadly a desire on our part to walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. These are the ones who, they hear the Bible, they go on their way, and yet they're choked with worries and riches and pleasure and sin. And those kinds of listeners cannot bring forth any fruit at all to maturity. Then there's the attentive. Verse 25, the attentive listener. And he's characterized by being obedient. Spiritual growth isn't measured by how often we read the Bible or how often we come to church, but it's measured truly by our desire to become more like Christ and reflect His love and to strive to do those things that ultimately will please Him. Thank you, Father God, for Your Word. Your Word is the energy. This morning I was speaking about how all of our vehicles need some energy source, either electric or fuel. But something, we need that fuel in order to get from point A to point B. Physically, we all certainly need to eat a good breakfast, or we need to eat a proper meal to sustain the physical body. But spiritually speaking, we sometimes forget, and Father, I'm guilty of this as well, how important it is to start the day in the Word, how important it is to end the day in the Word. The Word is our source of energy. It is primarily how You speak to us. So let us not just be hearers of the Word, but as James said a moment ago, 2,000 years ago, let us be doers of the Word as well. As we leave this place, as we leave, Father, I pray that our faith will grow and that our love will deepen. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Let's all stand for our invitational hymn, "I've Decided to Follow Jesus."